Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $150 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $150 into something bigger when you bet on moneyline, spread, totals, player props.
$150 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
This is Free Range with Von Miller, the podcast where I step outside the lines and I take you with me. Each week, we're talking everything from the biggest stories around the league to the biggest stories off the field. This isn't your average sports podcast. This is game meets culture, locker room meets living room, and no topic is off limits. So if you're into good conversations that ruffle a few feathers, join me every Wednesday and follow Free Range with Von Miller everywhere you get your podcast.
The Rich Zeoli Show podcast is sponsored by Mike Venaria Jr. with Osperity Private Wealth.
Hi, I'm Mike Venaria Jr., Wealth Management Specialist. Make your retirement dreams a reality by creating your retirement plan today. Call me at 856-252-0107.
He's the one and only Michael Knowles, and he joins me now live on Talk Radio 1210 WPHD. Michael, how are you, man?
Rich, I'm doing better now. Thank you for having me.
Absolutely. It's great to see you again. The last time we were together was back in March when I flew out to L.A. We were together for the PragerU Book Club Animal Farm, which was released just a couple days ago. I tell you what, man, it was a lot of fun doing it with you. It really was.
Well, thank you for doing it. You know, I love that show. I don't even know how many years I've been doing it now. And I consider it not even like my hobby, though it does give me a great deal of pleasure and kind of leisure time. But I consider that show in many ways the education that I didn't get. You know, a lot of us, even if we went to college, even if we went to graduate school, some of us, we didn't read a lot of the great books. And yeah. So the book club spans books that you probably should have read in, I don't know, seventh or eighth grade, like Animal Farm, all the way up to War and Peace, The Divine Comedy, Canterbury Tales. And it's great for me because part of our job, if we're broadcasters or political analysts or something, is to have read a lot of books. And if we didn't do it, then the show is a great way to catch up and make up for that lack of education.
Yeah, you know, and the thing about it is that it's very timely right now, that particular book. We did this before Mam Dani rose to the scene. But obviously, you know, we're watching right now as we have a socialist elected mayor of New York City, a socialist elected mayor of Seattle, and a lot of young people who voted for these people. And, you know, it's the problem that we talked about, which is that we are not doing a thorough enough job of teaching young people the dangers, the horrors of communism and the failures of socialism and how it doesn't work despite all the promises and all the times they say it just hasn't been tried. Right. Which you and I talked about. And it's very obvious with young people through years of indoctrination. I mean, at least that's my take on it, that they succumb to this.
Yes, there are a lot of parallels right now. Obviously, Animal Farm, about a Bolshevik revolution on this farm. And then it turns out that the pigs who led the revolution are not that much different from the old oppressors that they were supposedly overthrowing. In some ways, they're actually worse. There's another analog, though. I was thinking the other day about Animal Farm just yesterday, which is we're talking about the shifting political order. And we got some good news out of Newsweek that Gen Z, despite the recent elections, Gen Z seems to prefer Republicans to Democrats, seems to trust them more. We saw a big swing in the youth vote from 2020 to 2024, a lot of that led by Charlie Kirk. And so, you know, you're getting some interesting signs coming out, but it's a big shift on what the left is. Now the left is basically openly communist, and on what the right is, there's talk of a right-wing civil war, and people get very passionate, and they get so invested in these nuances. And I'm reminded of the line from the donkey in Animal Farm. And the donkey, he doesn't get too excited when the revolution's looking good. He doesn't get too upset when the revolution starts looking bad. He says, "Donkeys live a long time. None of you has ever seen a dead donkey." And there's a lot of wisdom about the perennial questions that go through politics that probably all of us could pay attention to right now.
Well said. Michael Knowles is with me, of course, host of the Michael Knowles Show, and a cigar aficionado and a whiskey aficionado. How's your cigar line doing, buddy?
The cigars have been a blast. I want to thank everybody who've gone out and supported Mayflower Cigars. We launched it 2 years ago, almost to the day. We immediately sold out of 4 months worth of supply. We sold about 50,000 cigars in roughly a day. And so we've had demand issues, we've had supply issues. The demand has outstripped the supply. We are now good. We've ramped up production a lot. And so they are in stock for Thanksgiving, you know, Black Friday and the Christmas season. A lot of great stuff. The new sampler has all three of our blends, Mayflower Dawn, Dusk, and Dream, a Connecticut wrapper, an Ecuador Habano wrapper, and then a Maduro wrapper. And so that just hit the shelves. However, people write me angry letters when they sell out. And we're in 100 retailers around the country, and I get angry letters. And if you would like to try them, I think they're magnificent cigars. If you'd like to try them, you have to get them now, because I don't want to be reading angry letters on Thanksgiving. And thank you to everyone who's supported the company.
I got to find out if you're in the Smoking Dog in Maple Shade, New Jersey. That's my go-to shop. I got to check with them if you're in there.
If I'm not yet, we got to get in there.
You got to get in there. You got to do it, man. Let me ask you. I mean, you have your show, and obviously you have a huge engagement on social media right now in this time. And you mentioned the civil war on the right. I mean, it seems like a lot of that is driven by social media. You know, it's the kind of thing that keeps compounding of itself. But I do think there's more that unites everybody than divides everybody. And are we putting too much emphasis, do you think, on the divisiveness?
Well, there's something weird about this supposed civil war, Rich. I think you're completely right that it is a phenomenon of social media. And what's really weird about it is in the past, when Republicans have had civil wars, there's always some civil war going on,
sure.
Whether it's Reagan versus Bush, whether it's, I don't know, the Buckleyites versus the Birchers, whether it's, I don't know, whoever it is, Bush versus Pat Buchanan. This has been going on forever. What's weird about this one is it doesn't seem to involve any actual politicians or political candidates. What's weird about this one is it seems to center entirely around podcasters and live streamers and these kind of big meta political issues. So, you know, it's because of a podcaster talked to a think tanker, talked to another podcaster and a live streamer. And then when you ask people to really drill down, okay, where do you stand on this issue or that issue or on Trump or on J.D. Vance as the heir apparent to Trump? Then all the division collapses in again and everybody seems to agree. So, you know, in many ways, this is very encouraging. I think the Republican Party is much less divided than people seem to think it is. I think that Charlie actually was a key figure in maintaining the coalition. So it's no surprise after the left assassinated him that there would be these questions. But I think we're substantially in a stronger place. I would just encourage people, you know, as we look ahead to the midterms, we look ahead to 2028, all the fighting and, you know, gossip on podcasting and live streaming. Streaming is very interesting, but we do have to keep our eyes on the prize. We say, what do we really want? What do we want to affect in the real political order? What candidates are we going to back to take us there? I think there's broad agreement, and we're going to have to work very hard to beat the real enemy in the political order, which is the left.
Well, I agree with you, and I think a lot of the podcasters are obviously looking for clicks, and social media rewards that. So the more conflict there is, the more rewarding that gets for them, and then obviously more profitable. Michael Knowles is with me, of course. Michael Knowles Show and PragerU Book Club, where we did Animal Farm together. I think there's more that unites the right than unites the left right now. I actually think the civil war on the left, which is not something that the media talks about, obviously, but it's very real. And their divide is much worse, because at the end of the day, we all agree, as you said, on Trump and on America First and the Second Amendment and, you know, deregulating and less taxes. And those fundamental things, I think, unite more than they divide. There's still some division over, you know, things like foreign policy intervention. But on the left, you do have a real divide happening right now over this idea of democratic socialism. And they don't know what to do with it. They don't know if they should embrace it, run from it, if they should fight it head on, because there's a risk of them getting a primary challenge. And this is a real serious issue for them. And you saw it play out with Kathy Hochul in New York, where she's at a Mamdani rally. I love this, Michael. She's at a Mamdani rally. They're chanting tax the rich. She's going, I can hear you. And the next day gets asked by the press and goes, oh, I didn't know what they were saying. I thought they were saying, let's go Bills. And she doesn't know what to do. Should she embrace this guy, fight this guy in Albany? If she does, is she going to get a primary? You're watching this fight play out with AOC and Chuck Schumer. I think their civil war is way worse than a battle between Megyn Kelly and whoever and Tucker and whoever. I mean, that has real implications for elected officials.
Much, much more so. I agree. You know, Kathy Hochul, it reminds me of that incident during Biden when the crowd was chanting F Joe Biden. And the reporter said, I think they're saying, let's go, Brandon. I don't think that's what you heard. Give me a break. And you're right. You know, in as much as there is any substantive issue that is causing friction on the right now, it's a disagreement over Israel. And right. That seems to split the young right, the very online right or the avant-garde right from more of the, I don't know, established or older right. Okay, so that's real. It's less of a crucial issue right now because Trump was able to negotiate that peace in Gaza. So I think over time you're going to see that issue just matter less and less in terms of priorities. But okay, that's the one. In as much as there's anything beyond podcasters fighting for clicks, that's the issue. Now let's look to the left. They're divided over Israel, for one. They had half their party marching in keffiyehs with Greta Thunberg and jihadis, and the other half, you know, trying to back Israel. Then you have, obviously, the split on immigration. They can't tell you, do they want more migration, less migration, open borders, closed borders? The split on crime, do they want to abolish prisons? Do they want to get a little tougher on crime, and crime's not a real problem in the cities? The split on taxation, as you point out. Split on trade, do they want tariffs, do they not want tariffs? Split on foreign policy, broader foreign policy. I mean, the list goes on and on. They can't even really articulate a healthcare plan. If you look at all the issues for the left, they're on the wrong side of just about every 80-20 issue, other than abortion, which doesn't matter that much to people, environmentalism, which doesn't matter that much to people, and healthcare. But even on healthcare, what do they want? Do they want Medicare for all, full-on socialist healthcare? Do they want what we currently have, which is the Obamacare system that they told us was going to fix the problem once and for all? Do they want more free markets? It's totally unclear. And so their party's in disarray. This is why, for the first time in at least 25 years, there is no presidential frontrunner with more than 25% support at this time in the cycle. They're in a very, very bad spot, no matter how much friction there is on the online right.
You know, Michael Knowles, last time we were together in March, we were in California. You're in Nashville, which I think is a fantastic city. It's a city of freedom. We were there in March right as the wildfires had ended. And they're not even wildfires. I mean, it was arson. It was arson and incompetence. Yeah. But, you know, we'll call them wildfires for the sake of using the term. But they spread, obviously, once they were started. But in the sense, I mean, they weren't created by wild. I mean, it wasn't nature that did this. This was a completely avoidable man-made event.
Contrived fires.
Right. Yeah, maybe that's a better way to put it. And Gavin Newsom really is at fault here with this. Here we are now. It's November. We're chatting again, and I'm very glad. It's great to catch up with you. But they have not built a single home out there. They have the insurance companies are screwing people over. None of the problems with the utilities have been resolved. You still have the incompetence around the permitting. And yet this guy, Gavin Newsom, is largely considered to be the front runner for 2028. I mean, it's amazing to me how a guy who is such a failure. And while I was out there, you gave me great recommendations to go to different places for dinner with my family. And we also took the kids to Universal Studios. And I was saying yesterday on Fox, I said, we went to the studios and it's a ghost town there. He's killed the movie industry, too. They've all fled to places like Nashville and places like Austin, Texas. This guy is one of the biggest failures in America, and yet he's a Democrat frontrunner for 2028.
He might be the front runner in the sense that there's nobody else, but I think he's largely a paper tiger. And you look at the other people who might even be considered. You have, who do you have? Kamala? Not going to happen. You have Josh Shapiro. No. So the Democrat Party is too hostile to Jews. It's
right.
Not going to happen.
Yeah.
You have Tim Walz. I don't think so. Gretchen Whitmer is one of the better candidates they have. She doesn't have a chance. It's crazy to say who could have seen this coming 7 years ago, who could have seen the destruction of the Democrat Party. One of the more plausible candidates that they have right now is AOC. And I'm not just saying it to be provocative or, you know, get clicks, but she could run for Senate.
Yep.
And take Chuck Schumer's seat, or she could run for president. She's making the rounds in the so-called flyover country. I think that she could mount a serious bid for president. And right now, because there's no real front runner, she might be able to do it.
Hey, she might be able to get Bernie's coalition. I mean, let's not forget that have the Democrat National Committee and all the superdelegates, because that's how their process works. You know, they can pick their candidate. Had they not stepped in 2016, it's very likely Bernie would have been their nominee. And maybe the same thing in 2020. I mean, they orchestrated that around to keep Joe Biden, to get him the nomination by having everybody drop out at the same time, keep Elizabeth Warren in to undercut Bernie's people. So maybe that coalition now goes to her. And if you get a lot of these young people who do believe that socialism is the answer. And maybe some people that are just, you know, throwing their hands up and saying the affordability thing, neither party can seem to solve it. I'll go with this. That could very well. I don't think your idea is crazy at all. And it's scary because I remember when that video came out of her dancing. You remember that? It was like dancing on a rooftop or something. And people were mocking it. And I said, you can mock it all you want, but you got to be careful here. She knows how to gain attention, and she knows how to generate the same kind of social media response and also media response. And quite frankly, Trump does. I mean, she's just as good at that, maybe, and better than maybe any other Democrat out there, I think.
That's right. She might not be the sharpest tool in the shed, make fun of her, you know. But the thing is,
she's not going to be on book club anytime soon. Let's put it that way.
She will not be. No. We've not invited her. But you know, a high IQ is not an occupational requirement for politics.
No.
And the fact is, she's very good at her job. Her job being amassing power, amassing influence, gaining attention. She's very, very good at that. And so she certainly could inherit Bernie's coalition. I think there's no question about that. He has all but endorsed her for that. And then it raises this question. Should the Dems have picked Bernie in 16? Or should they have picked a guy like Bernie, even though he's 150 years old, in 2024? And, you know, the establishment Democrats' argument against that is, well, look, Joe Biden managed to get in. But the fact is, the 2020 election was rigged. Mm-hmm. And even if you don't think it was stolen, even if you don't think it was illegitimate, they did change all the rules. They made it such that it was easier for them to install a Democrat candidate in there. They're not playing in that same field in 2024, 2028, or further on. And so just as a charismatic populism worked on the right, I think a lot of Democrats are saying maybe we need a charismatic populism on the left. The problem for them, though, is they have to look at the issues. In 16, everybody wrongly concluded that Trump won despite his views on issues because of the power of his personality. And I wonder if it was almost the opposite. Trump's staked out positions that were broadly popular on virtually every issue, and he's delivered on a ton of them. And for the Dems, that is just not the case. So they might get the charisma, they might get the populism, but when the rubber meets the road on what they're actually offering to people, right now they're on the wrong side of almost every issue.
Yeah, they are. And I think your point earlier about the Israel issue, you know, you think about this, and this is why Josh Shapiro, who would love to be president, probably has no chance, because there is a deep anti-Semitism on the left that would never let a guy like him become president. And that's also why I think Kamala Harris didn't pick him. I mean, among other reasons, I don't think he wanted it. I think he was very, very leery, but it would have been tough for them in Michigan, no doubt about that. Whereas on the right, what we're talking about with Israel, for the most part, are policy distinctions. You have some outliers out there who say some, you know, crazy, crazy things, obviously. But we're talking about policy distinctions in terms of how much of Israel should guide American foreign policy. But that's different from an anti-Semitism that would stop us from electing a Jewish candidate. And it's very real on the left. And that's, again, something that's not talked about enough.
And it's a big shift. Don't forget, it was 25 years ago that the Democrats nominated a practicing Jew who wore a yarmulke to be their vice presidential nominee.
Right.
They could never do that today.
Joe Lieberman
would never stand
a chance. I mean, since he's not with us anymore, but also,
true. Yeah. Although that actually might help. They got Biden across. Why can't they get Joe Lieberman 2028?
I mean, they vote for dead people vote for them all the time. So why not have a dead guy running?
That's right. And so you see, yes, I think a more fervent kind of anti-Semitism on the left. You know, hostility to the Jews is kind of a perennial issue that has been present in the world for millennia at this point. So it's not going anywhere. Sometimes it creeps up. Sometimes it diminishes. But I totally agree with you. There's no comparison in the scope of the problem. And so for Democrats, all right, there you go. That takes out one of their most capable presidential candidates. And then I think they've learned that their female candidates just don't seem to have it. Hillary Clinton was the most juiced female candidate for president, and it didn't go anywhere. So after two losses with women, I think it probably has to be a man. The identity politics really hurt them. Joe Biden said that he picked Kamala because she was a black woman. The other choices were Susan Rice and Karen Bass, the fall man for Benghazi, and an actual communist. That wasn't going to work. So, you know, their identity politics has really really put them in a corner. And then the problem, of course, is they hate white men. So even if they go with like a Gavin Newsom type, even if he weren't the most failed governor in America, he violates their deeply held convictions on identity politics. At a certain point, who are they going to, they're going to run Mayor Pete or something? They've taken a lot of their players off the table.
He might be nursing on the campaign trail. That'd be fun to watch. Michael Knowles, great catching up with you, my friend. Let's check out the PragerU book club we did together on Animal Farm and grab one of his cigars. And if they don't have them at a retailer, ask for them, please. And don't write him any angry letters if you can't find them. It's not his fault. And check out Michael J. Knowles' show and MichaelJKnowles.com. Michael, I really appreciate this, man. It was great catching up with you, my friend.
Rich, thanks for having me. Good to see you. See you next
All right.
time.
The Rich Cioli Show on Talk Radio 1210 WPHT.
All right, that's the big story of the hour, brought to you by Dr. Mike Venaria, Venaria Dental. Go see him today for your perfect smile. VANARIA, VenariaDental.com. Two locations to serve you in Cinnaminson and Woodbury. Get those year-end benefits. Make sure you don't lose them. Don't leave anything on the table when it comes to your smile. Big show for today. The White House press briefing wrapped up a short time ago. We'll tell you what was said. Will members of Congress be executed for sedition? Don't go away.
The Rich Cioli Show on Talk Radio 1210 WPHT.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $150 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $150 into something bigger when you bet on moneyline, spread, totals, player props.
$150 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
Hey, Ryan Reynolds here, wishing you a very happy half-off holiday, because right now, Mint Mobile is offering you the gift of 50% off unlimited. To be clear, that's half price, not half the service. And Mint is still premium unlimited wireless for a great price. So, that means a half day, yeah? Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
Upfront payment of $45 for 3 month plan, equivalent to $15 per month required. New customer offer for first 3 months only. Speed slow after 35 gigabytes if network's busy. Taxes and fees extra. See mintmobile.com.
This is Free Range with Von Miller, the podcast where I step outside the lines and I take you with me. Each week, we're talking everything from the biggest stories around the league to the biggest stories off the field. This isn't your average sports podcast. This is game meets culture, locker room meets living room, and no topic is off limits. So if you're into good conversations that ruffle a few feathers, join me every Wednesday and follow Free Range with Von Miller everywhere you get your podcast.
Senator Dave McCormick's going to join us at 3:45 today, so that'll be fun. I'm looking forward to that. So we will chat about that as well. We'll see. I don't know. Matt, who do we have on the show tomorrow, out of curiosity, before I answer your other question?
Tomorrow we've got a couple guests, actually. We'll have our usual interview with Dr. Wilfred Riley. We've got Kathleen Local from Local's Bakery talking about their Donald Trump gingerbread house.
Yeah, so our buddy Ann Gross, who wrote the Zioli Army Anthem, she sent me that story of how she's getting death threats now because she built a Donald Trump gingerbread house. So the store is getting threats, which is insane. So we'll have her on tomorrow. Okay, who else?
And Stacey Garrity will be on, the treasurer and Republican candidate for governor
of Pennsylvania. Excellent. Okay. Wonderful. Excellent. Well, what about Paula and Raquel?
I'm going to try to get them for 5 o'clock. They're always good at for a 5 o'clock segment, I think. That's a fun way to eat up 30 minutes.
I agree. Why don't we hold on that other thing, and maybe we'll do that tomorrow. Maybe I'll do that tomorrow, if you know what I mean.
Yes, I got you.
Okay. Right. We were just talking about you, DeSantis. Austin and Frank Canale came in the room, and they were making fun of you since you're coming in next week, but you're taking Wednesday off.
Well, as soon as you said you were discussing me with Austin and Frank, I knew it wasn't going to be anything positive.
You hear that, Justin? He's coming in, but he's taking Wednesday off.
Wow.
We're all shocked by that level of dedication.
I'm in Monday, Tuesday. May not be taking off Wednesday as well.
I may also be taking off Thanksgiving. But I've worked every holiday since I've been here, except for, I think, 4th of July, because we ran a best of.
Yeah.
So I would like a day off, a holiday off.
You should get a day off, but don't they pay you time and a half when you work on holidays?
They do.
So, I mean, if it's me, I'm working. I work Thanksgiving. I used to do shows on Thanksgiving. I didn't get paid time and a half, though.
Oh, my God.
I got paid $50 a show back then.
Ooh. Yeah. Wow, very generous.
Very generous, yeah. No, I mean, those are the days when we were pre-kid, obviously, and Bridget and I, we had a place in the city, and I did the show. This is back when we were in Bala, and then went down to Park for dinner and had Thanksgiving dinner at Park. I want to say this was like, I don't know, 2010 maybe, and I got paid $50 for that show, so... Which is more than I get paid now. It's ironic. I actually lost. I'm losing money.
What'd you do with all that money? Did you buy a Ferrari?
Well,
or?
It paid for maybe about 25% of the dinner, I think, at Park. So, but you know, we didn't have kids, and that was fun. And when Ed Palladino, who was the program director back then, offered me the chance to host a show, I said yes every chance I had, even on days like Thanksgiving. Now, there's not enough money to get me to work on Thanksgiving, you know, but I will say this, though, I will be working on Thanksgiving this year, so, yeah, I will.
Which show?
America's Newsroom, remote. Yeah, they asked me if I'd come on.
They send in the van?
What's that?
They send in the van?
I don't know, actually. I think just old school, like, you know, home camera kind of thing. Yeah, which actually I should talk to Austin before he leaves about some of the lighting, so make sure that that's all good. That they asked me to do that Thursday and Black Friday and Monday, so and then Tuesday as well. So we got a busy week next week.
4 days in a row?
Yeah, Monday America's Newsroom, Tuesday America Reports, Wednesday Thursday America's Newsroom. So
Sheesh.
Maybe an Ingram sprinkled in there too, and I got to host Jimmy Fallon's radio show on Monday. So. I'm actually off next week, but not off next week. So,
yeah, you sound pretty busy.
Yeah, I'm actually going to be very busy on my vacation week. And also also hosting Dana Lash's radio show on Wednesday as well. So that'll be fun. I'm a glutton for punishment. What can I tell you?
Is this really a vacation? sounds like just a normal week for you.
Yeah, well, at least I won't have to do a four-hour show here every day. So there's that, you know.
That is true.
Who's hosting Thanksgiving? Who do we have?
I believe it's Chris Kroc again.
Okay.
He hosted last year.
And Opelka's in on Friday.
Yep.
Kathy Barnett on Wednesday. And Mary Walter Monday and Tuesday.
Yep.
Gotcha. Because I know our buddy Tom Aislebe is co-hosting with Barry Sable, filling in for Dawn, I believe, if I'm not mistaken.
He's been doing a great job on the Saturday shows.
Listen, he's killing it. He's killing it. He's like my grandson, because I got him into this business. Well, no, he'd be Maz's grandson. So he's like my son, so he'd be Maz's grandson. You know, because Maz got me in, and then I got him in, and I got Rooney in, so that would make Maz his grandchildren. So basically, yeah. Don't ask who the great-grandfather is. I don't want to tell you who that is. Because that would be the person who got Maz in a radio, obviously. But
now I'm curious.
Well, it's not that hard to figure out. He's bald. He has a CNN Saturday morning show. His name rhymes with Merkonish.
Could be anybody.
Could be anybody. And Maz was his intern on his show. And that's how he got into radio and then had the 6 to 10 show. And then moved to the weekends, and then got me here on Talk Radio 1210 WPHD. So we always say that, as crazy as this is, Michael Smirkanish is my radio grandfather, as freaking crazy as that is. You talk about a dysfunctional family right there. I mean, am I right? That's going to be more dysfunctional than my mother-in-law at the compostable? I was going to say combustible, which they are, because they are eventually going to be set on fire in a landfill, but compostable plates. So, compostable. Say that five times fast. Compostable, compostable. You can't. Can't say it. Bop, bop, bop. All right. We got aliens invading. I'm going to talk about that today, or it could just be a comet. We're not sure. Could be one or the other. We obviously have a lot of things going on with regards to Venezuela and killing drug lords, and there's all that we got to talk about. We got Epstein. Oh, Epstein, right, Epstein. Pam Bondi, Attorney General. How will the DOJ handle the remaining Jeffrey Epstein files? This is now President Trump has signed the bill officially. He signed it into law. This question was asked, though, earlier in the week. And the question was if President Trump signs the bill. So he's now since signed it. So Democrats will have to come up with a new talking point besides why won't Trump sign the bill? Well, now he's signed it. So you're going to need another talking point here. I'm not very good at coming up with new things on their feet. Nevertheless, here's cut 14.
Madam Attorney General, do you mean that you will provide all the files by 30 days?
We will follow the law. The law passed both chambers last evening. It has not yet been signed, but we will continue to follow the law again while protecting victims, but also providing maximum transparency.
Madam Attorney General, the DOJ statement earlier this year saying that the files would not release mentioned the fact that the review of the documents and the evidence did not suggest that any additional investigation of third parties was warranted. What changed since then that you launched this investigation?
Information that has come for information. There's information that new information, additional information. And again, we will continue to follow the law to investigate any leads. If there are any victims, we encourage all victims to come forward. And we will continue to provide maximum transparency under the law.
We will continue to provide maximum transparency under the law. We will continue. Now, you started this whole thing with your little nonsense with the binders and everybody back in March, which got the whole ball rolling under all this. And here we are today. Jen Psaki tried to exploit an Epstein victim and tried to link President Trump to Epstein's sex trafficking. This did not go over well, but it shows you just how creepy the left can be and how they don't stop. They never stop. So she sat down with Charlene Rochard, who gave her debut on MS Now, not MSNBC, MS Now, okay, Jen Psaki. This was aired on Tuesday night. It's called The Briefing. And she tried to get her to link President Trump to Epstein's sex trafficking, made the woman very uncomfortable in an attempt to make this political, but she can't help herself. That's what she does. And I'm sure when they set up the interview with the guest, I highly doubt they ever said to her, hey, look, we're going to try to use you as a political pawn to try to talk about the president here. I doubt that ever happened, but here's cut 13.
In your experience of what you were asked to do, I know that Epstein himself, of course, was a predator. Did you travel to the island?
Yes, I did. I was in New York, Miami, and on the island.
Did you travel to Mar-a-Lago?
Yes, I did.
And how did you arrive at Mar-a-Lago? How did you end up going to Mar-a-Lago? Did he send you there? Were you told to go there? How did that happen?
There were a lot of model parties at the Mar-a-Lago. Different people would set them up, different magazines, and a limo would come and you'd jump in the limo and you'd go.
And Jeffrey Epstein or someone who worked for him would tell you to go there?
No. It was just a place where something was held, a party was held, and people would go to different events.
This is about so much more than one person, Jeffrey Epstein or Ghislaine Maxwell or Donald Trump. But because Donald Trump is a person who, of course, owns Mar-a-Lago, I just have to ask if you think he was aware of that arrangement.
I don't know if he was aware. Actually, I can't answer that. I'm sorry.
You were in your teens.
It's pathetic, right? You bring this woman on and she's a victim of Epstein. She thinks she's getting a platform to talk about her experience, and all the White House fembot, well, no, she's one of the fembot. That was the other one. All Psaki wants to do is put her in an uncomfortable position and make this about Trump. What about the magazines that threw these parties? I mean, she says a lot of these things were set up by magazines. So a lot of these various glamour magazines would set up these parties and send limos and have gifts and gift bags and everything. I mean, why are we not having a conversation about that? What do the magazines know? What did the limo company know? What are the catering? What are the caterers? I mean, hey, where does it end? But it's just trying to get about Trump, and she's very uncomfortable, and she did not sign up for that. It's clear. It's obvious. Because if you were going to get somebody who was an Epstein victim, who was prepared to go on that show and talk to dozens of people about Donald Trump, she would have been ready for it. She would have been ready for it. She would have expected it. She would have been prepared to say, well, I think Donald Trump knew. I think Donald Trump was in the broom closet with some of these girls. I think, but that you she's completely caught off guard, completely caught off guard here, uncomfortable, and did not think that is in any way, shape, or form what she signed up for. So shame on Jen Psaki for doing that. Not surprising, though. And dozens of people watched it, and way more just heard it since I played it. There are dozens of MS Now subscribers, dozens. All right, listen, let's talk about for a second Bob's Little Sports Shop and my great friends over at Bob's and what they got lined up for you for Black Friday. They got great 5% off the purchase of a firearm. Any firearm at Bob's Little Sports Shop this coming Black Friday. And in December, they got the special going on where you get Bob's Bucks for every $100 you spend. You get $5 back in Bob's Bucks, which you can use on other things as well. Now, there are some restrictions on both, but just, you know, ask them. It's on the website and everything like that. But you'll find great savings at Bob's and great people who will help you out. It's a great time of year to go. They also have specials on range packages and range time for Black Friday. And it's also the place to book your holiday party. I love this idea. As everybody's thinking about, what do we do with the corporate team? Or we do family and friends get together and stuff like that. Instead of going to the same old, do something different by going to Bob's Little Sports Shop. Great people. And you don't need experience. You can have people in your crew who have no experience whatsoever. And they'll help you and help everybody because they have NRA certified range instructors. No firearms ID card required. No alcohol or drugs permitted on premises, obviously. But you'll have a great time. But spots are filling up fast. So what you want to do is go to BobsLittleSportsShop.com and book your date. Talk to them. Have somebody help you plan it. Check out their Black Friday specials as well. 5% off. That's great. You can't beat that, right? Again, there are some exclusions. See it on the website and check it out when you go. BobsLittleSportsShop.com, my go-to place for all things Second Amendment. This ad sponsored by Bob's Little Sports Shop.
The Rich Cioli Show on Talk Radio 1210 WPHD.
All right.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
Hey, Ryan Reynolds here. Wishing you a very happy half-off holiday because right now Mint Mobile is offering you the gift of 50% off unlimited. To be clear, that's half price, not half the service. And Mint is still premium unlimited wireless for a great price. So that means a half day, yeah? Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
Upfront payment of $45 for 3-month plan equivalent to $15 per month required. New customer offer for first 3 months only. Speeds slow after 35 gigabytes of networks busy. Taxes and fees extra. See mintmobile.com.
This is Free Range with Von Miller, the podcast where I step outside the lines and I take you with me. Each week, we're talking everything from the biggest stories around the league to the biggest stories off the field. This isn't your average sports podcast. This is game meets culture, locker room meets living room, and no topic is off limits. So if you're into good conversations that ruffle a few feathers, join me every Wednesday and follow Free Range with Von Miller everywhere you get your podcast.
All right, it's great to have back on the show Pennsylvania's very own Senator Dave McCormick. Senator, how are you today?
I'm great. How are you, Rich?
Doing well, my friend. It's great to see you and appreciate making the time today. Nice job on that video asking all the New Yorkers to come to Pennsylvania, inviting them to come, I should say.
Yeah, I got a lot of heat on that. A lot of attention, But, you know, the funny thing, all the New Yorkers, you know, who gave me a hard time, none of them were defending the mayor. They were just saying the Jets weren't as hopeless as I was saying.
Yeah, you had a video in there. So a lot of Jets fans with paper bags on their head. That was pretty funny.
That's right.
The failing football teams.
All kidding aside, though, I think it's indicative of something very scary, which is the radical left really coming into positions of power in what's one of the greatest cities in the world, advocating a set of socialist policies that have been tried. These things have been tried over and over again throughout Europe, throughout the world. They are in the dustbin of history, and yet these ideas keep resurrecting. On top of that, you have the anti-Semitism, the radical extremism in the streets that Mamdani associated himself with. So this is going to be a wild ride for New York, and we hope that cooler minds will prevail. But it's definitely a scary moment.
Yeah, no, it is, and it's a damn shame that a lot of young voters keep falling for this. And I blame that on our education system for not doing a better job of teaching them the fact that these ideas have been tried and they failed.
Yeah, no doubt about it. I also think, listen, if you step back and you want the best for America, you want a strong Democratic Party. You want a party that's not captured by the left, because it's like anything else. It makes the Republican Party better for us to have, to defend our ideas. This is this extremism, I think, is truly a risk to the country. And so I'm hoping, as I said, I'm hoping cooler minds prevail. In the meantime, we want to get those folks that want freedom and don't want to be unwelcomed for their religious views to come to Pennsylvania. There's lots of good stuff going on here.
Well, your friend and colleague, Senator John Fetterman, and you're both getting a lot of praise for your bipartisanship, especially during the shutdown. He said he's gotten more attacks on Blue Sky, which is the left Twitter, the left version of Twitter, and from the left than he has on the right, with death threats and everything else. I mean, that's a shame, because here you have a guy who is trying to work with the president, work with you, do what's best for the country, put country over party. And for that, many people within his own party now are turning on him. And it's very likely he's going to face a primary challenge.
No doubt, Rich. And the thing about it is, you know, if he and I went line by line on policies, we disagree on more things than we agree on. He is a progressive guy. He's a Democrat, but he's also independent minded, and he's willing to speak out for things he believes in, and he's an honest man. And so he and I have found a way to work together on things that we agree on that are great for Pennsylvania. And when we disagree, we just do so civilly and move on. And the attacks on him have been vicious. A couple months ago, there was a concerted campaign, as you remember, to say that he was unequipped, unprepared, didn't have cognitive capabilities. It's just very nasty. And I texted him. I said, listen, this is vicious. I said, I'd like to come out and defend you, but I don't want to hurt you. Do you think would you like me to come out and say something? He said, yeah. So nobody else is. So I went out and made a strong statement, and other Republicans did too, and then some Democrats did. But it just shows you that there's an extreme element of this party that just won't accept an independent-minded man, even if he probably agrees with them on most things.
Yes, it's sad, because I do agree with you. A strong Democrat Party is healthy for the country and for the Republican Party, too. It makes Republicans better. It makes Republicans more conservative. It's just better all around. I want to ask you about veterans. You wrote an op-ed in the Pittsburgh Post-Gazette about what our veterans need right now. Obviously, Veterans Day was the 11th. We're also celebrating the anniversary or remembering the anniversary of Gettysburg. What do our veterans need at this moment, Senator? And as a veteran, and thank you for your service in the 82nd Airborne, a combat veteran, I should mention.
Yeah. Thanks, Rich. So, I mean, it's a big day for me because it's a time where you really remember those who have been willing to sacrifice their all to defend America. And so it's a day of gratitude, but it's also a day, as I tried to lay out in the op-ed, for action. And here we are, 24 years after 2001. And in the time since then, we've lost 140,000 veterans to veteran suicide, an astronomical number. We lose 19 people a day today to veteran suicide. And more than half those folks haven't received any counseling, or even no one in the Veterans Affairs system even knew they had a problem. And so they die in silence. without the kind of help they need. And this is a disgrace. You learn a lot about a country by how it treats the people who are willing to serve. So the op-ed basically says we need to do a couple things. We need to essentially get rid of this culture where people are afraid to express that they're vulnerable and in trouble from a mental health perspective. It runs a little bit against the, you know, kind of macho imagery we have of the military, but people need to express that they're having trouble, and we need to have a culture that encourages that. Second, we need leaders to be held accountable in the military, in Congress, in the Defense Department, in the VA, to make sure we solve this problem. It's unacceptable. And third, we need to be more imaginative. And I introduced legislation, two pieces, one that focuses on brain trauma centers, innovation centers that can hopefully get to the bottom of some of the new therapies. Second is a zero suicide initiative that will be rolled out across a number of the VA centers. And then finally, you know, I'm very open to the idea of psychedelics used in a very contained way for our veterans as a potential path to dealing with this. But we listen, what we're doing is not working. The definition of insanity is trying the same thing over and over and failing. We are failing our veterans. And that's something I wanted to highlight on that day where we express our gratitude.
I'm glad you're open to this psychedelic idea, because they've really promising research in that area. We're doing more now, which is good, looking into the positive effects of that. And we weren't before. And if it helps, great. You know, I mean, anything to help them get over the PTSD and the trauma. And if that will be what works, and good. I'm happy to hear you're open minded about it. I'm not surprised that you're open minded about it. I'm just saying I'm happy to hear that. So,
yeah. Yeah, support. The other thing that you mentioned, and I was there earlier this week, is Gettysburg.
Yeah.
And on Wednesday, yesterday, was the 162nd anniversary of Lincoln's famous address, the Gettysburg Address, which, you know, is probably the purest, most beautiful 200 words ever expressed in American politics. And it's just a reminder. You walk those battlefields, Rich. I'm sure you've done it.
Oh, yes.
I mean, 50,000 people died, were injured, or missing in 3 days of battle. And you just see the sacrifice there and throughout American history that's necessary to keep America, America, to protect our freedoms, to create and protect everything that's dear. That's what Gettysburg reminds us of. So it's as we think about the 250th anniversary next year, Pennsylvania is where it all started. So we think about the 250th. We got to keep reminding ourselves, what are those timeless and universal principles that has led America to be able to be the greatest country in the world? We got to make sure we don't lose sight of those as we lead our way forward.
Senator McCormick, you'll be happy to know my parents brought my 10-year-old son Patrick to Gettysburg last year, and they had a great weekend with him, and he loved it. He absolutely was blown away by it. So I think next summer we're going to try to do a reenactment so that he can see that.
I love it. Yeah, we saw some reenactors up there. We just walked through Valley Forge the week before, too, which is worth doing.
It's, oh, yes.
Incredible, the sacrifice. Incredible.
Yeah, we're blessed to have all that in our area, especially as we get ready for our 250th. All right, so from veterans and psychedelics to chocolate— which should also, by the way, help with trauma. I know whenever my wife's mad at me, dark chocolate seems to do the trick. So,
it's a big chocolate week, man, going into the holidays. So we're a huge chocolate manufacturer. There's about 58,000 jobs in Pennsylvania that are either in the chocolate industry or associated with it. And we're a big producer. And the tariffs on cocoa were a huge problem because there's no way to source it in the United States. There's a little bit out west, but not much. And so that's the biggest product that goes into chocolate. And so the president released, I had talked to our trade team about this, been in contact and for a number of months, as many in that industry had been. And the president made a modification to the tariff policies to recognize that cocoa is going to need to be brought in from outside our Commonwealth borders and outside American borders. And so it was a big day for Hershey and the other chocolate manufacturers in Pennsylvania.
Well, we also take our kids to the Hershey Lodge every year around Christmas time. And that's also a great place to be. So
that's special. You know, but I want to say, Rich, just as I really mean this. And Selena Zito had a great piece in the last day or two about Nippon Steel, which is another example. I think with President Trump, you've got this guy who's got a clear vision, business guy, knows where he wants to take things, isn't afraid to be bold. But he's also constantly listening and taking in new information.
Good.
And he adjusts his position as he hears things that make sense to him, which is what he did on Nippon, is what he did on Coco. That is a sign of strength. That's a sign of confidence, to have the vision, to push the big ideas, and also constantly evolve and make the necessary changes as new data comes in. And this is one example of that, which means a lot to Pennsylvania.
Yeah, but you know, you're a very humble guy, Senator McCormick, and I've always liked that about you. It's also because you have his ear. You have the ear of the president of the United States, and he listens to you and he respects you, that these things are happening that benefit our state, including, by the way, the Three Mile Island, which, could you tell us about that, too? Because I think that's a very big deal.
Yeah, listen, what's happening? I mean, we are going to see under this president. Thanks for that nice word. I think I do have a good relationship with the president. I think part of it is we campaigned together for, you know, I think we did probably 14, 15 events together in Pennsylvania. And I was on the stage with him and just stepped down when he got shot in Butler. Yep. So we lived through that together, and he always comments on that. So I've got a lot of faith in him, and I think he's got faith in me. You know, I think. I'm sorry. What was the
Three Mile Island?
Which brings me to Three Mile Island, which I think under this president you're going to see a renaissance in nuclear power. He's put an executive order in place. I sat down just earlier this week with the CEO of Constellation, Joe Dominguez. I mean, they are on fire. Pennsylvania has a huge installed base of nuclear, but what's happening is we have Westinghouse, which is the manufacturer of nuclear reactors. We just had a huge order from Japan that came in for $80 billion worth of reactors at our Energy and Innovation Summit. Westinghouse announced they'll build 10 new reactors over the next 5 or 6 years. This is unbelievable. The nuclear power is necessary to meet the incredible demands of energy. It's safe. It's environmentally friendly. It's great jobs for Pennsylvania. And Three Mile Island, which, you know, I'm older than you, so I'm not sure if you remember it when you were a kid, but I remember that accident happening. And unfortunately, as a result of that accident at Three Mile Island, nobody was killed or injured, but the new nuclear energy industry shut down. And it's taken, 40 years to get it back to where it's opening back up. There's new technology, SMRs, which are these small reactors. It's going to be an enormously important part of America's energy future and the AI future, because you can't have AI innovation and AI leadership without energy dominance. So Pennsylvania is going to be the center of a lot of that. And the president's leading the charge. And Three Mile Island, they're opening up a new reactor that's going to be essentially a source of energy for Microsoft. Kind of an unprecedented deal where Microsoft and Constellation came together. It's very exciting, and it's the beginning, I think, of a lot more innovation to come.
Senator Dave McCormick, thanks, my friend. Appreciate it.
Good to be with you, Rich.
Keep up the good work. Thank you.
The Rich Cioli Show on Talk Radio 1210 WPHT. The Rich Cioli Show on Talk Radio 1210 WPHT.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up, you get early payout on parlays too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
This is Free Range with Von Miller, the podcast where I step outside the lines and I take you with me. Each week, we're talking everything from the biggest stories around the league to the biggest stories off the field. This isn't your average sports podcast. This is game meets culture, locker room meets living room, and no topic is off limits. So if you're into good conversations that ruffle a few feathers, join me every Wednesday and follow Free Range with Von Miller everywhere you get your podcasts.